Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Well, we have to establish certain standard or code of conduct. Like if the break is for 15 minutes, make it a point to be in your seat in 15 minutes time. I came down. It's not that you will come only when I come and sit here. I think that is becoming a trend that when I come and sit down, then everybody rushes into their seats. Actually, spiritual life is a life of discipline. Those who are not disciplined, they'll find it very difficult to make progress in spiritual life. It is dependent upon mercy, but the mercy will be bestowed upon those who are disciplined, who are surrendered, who are committed. Actually, in the fourth chapter only, Krishna made that point, that the process is tadbiddhi pranipatena pariprasnena shevaya. It's a question of respect, pranipatena. If we don't have the respect for the authority, the teacher, then what kind of knowledge we are going to receive from him? To begin with, if we think that he doesn't know anything, I know better than him, then where is the question of learning? So learning will come when that appreciation and respect is there. So please make it a point that spiritual life means serious business. It's very serious business. It's not a part-time thing. And not a casual thing. Because if we don't take it seriously, we won't be able to absorb. And if we don't absorb, we'll not be able to meditate. If we do not meditate, we'll not have the realization. So please become very serious about your spiritual life. And when I say the break is for 15 minutes, don't think that, oh, Maharaj said 15 minutes, but actually it's half an hour. He said 15 minutes, but I'll make it half an hour. So that should be the attitude. And ultimately, the purpose of this is to establish that standard. What spiritual life is meant for. The topic that we are discussing is important, but more important is to bring you into the proper channel. What it is, what you have accepted, what you are committing yourself to, and what is expected out of you. Just consider a materialistic way of, in the material atmosphere, there is so much discipline. Can you go to your office according to your whim? Can you come to your seat according to your whim? No. Something is expected out of you. Now you may say, well, they're paying me money. I'm getting paid for. Now always remember that here also is a question of payment. Actually, what Krishna can pay you, you cannot even imagine. Krishna is already paying you so much. Krishna has given you all the food you need. Krishna has given you all the water that you need to drink. Krishna is giving you all the air that you need to breathe. Krishna is making all kinds of arrangements for you all the time. Now, shouldn't you become little appreciative of what Krishna is doing for you? Please take this seriously. So we have done up to the first four chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Now we'll go to the fifth chapter. Now you notice that fifth chapter is known as Karma Yoga, and the third chapter also was known as Karma Yoga. So what's the difference? The difference is the more advanced stage of Karma Yoga, more definite stage of Karma Yoga. What is the ultimate consideration of Karma Yoga? When the actions are meant only for offering to Krishna. When the actions are meant for pleasing Krishna. That is the ultimate Karma Yoga, which is actually bhakti, devotional service. So devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is our main consideration here. So in this chapter, Krishna dispelled the doubts of Arjuna about renunciation of action and yoga of devotional service. Now what is the difference between renunciation of action and yoga of devotional service? That has been explained here and instructed him that real renunciation is to give up attachments to fruitive actions. So renunciation of action means, renunciation means giving up, to give up. Renunciation of action. Now previously Krishna says that nahi kaschit kshanam api jatu tishtati akarmakrit. Not doing action, one cannot live even for a moment. Nahi kaschit kshanam. Kshan means a fraction of a moment. One cannot exist for even for a fraction of a moment without being active. Nahi kaschit kshanam api jatu tishtati akarmakrit. Not acting. One cannot exist even for a moment not acting. And now Krishna is saying renunciation of action. Doesn't it sound contradictory? In one hand he is saying one cannot stay without action, without performing action, and now he is saying renunciation of action. So what does it mean? Renunciation of action means rejecting the actions for our sense gratification. Renunciation of action doesn't mean stopping your actions. Renunciation of action doesn't mean to become inactive. But not to act for your sake, for your sense gratification, but act for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. Now, is there any difference between renunciation of action and yoga of devotional service? Renunciation of action means devotional service. One can renounce action only by being engaged in devotional service. Like, how can we justify it? How can we explain it? Just before the break, I gave an example of being a chauffeur and driving your own car. You're driving your own car. But when you're a chauffeur, then what are you doing? When you're driving your own car, it is your car you're driving. When you're driving your own car, then it is for your sake, your pleasure, your necessity you're driving. But when you are a chauffeur, then what happens? Are you driving your car? No. You are driving your master's car. Are you driving according to your own whim? No. Only when your master tells you to drive, then you are driving. But at the same time, as a chauffeur, you take care of the car. And you drive very carefully. You drive more carefully than you would have driven your own car. So that's the difference between action and renunciation of action. Renunciation of action means becoming somebody's chauffeur. Then you are not driving your car. Then you are not driving according to your wish, according to your whims. But you are doing it for as a service to your master. After attaining the state of renunciation, when one becomes engaged in activities that are meant to please Vishnu, one realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead and achieves transcendental peace. Arjuna asked, between renunciation of action and engagement of devotional service, which one is better? Krishna replied that unconditional devotional service is better than renunciation of action. Why? Just now we said that it means the same thing. Then why Krishna is saying that one is better than the other? Unconditional devotional service is better. Why? Because although it is the same, but it is a higher stage of engagement. Renunciation of action by itself is not everything. The renunciation of action must lead to unconditional devotional service. Then only it achieves its perfection. True sannyas is to become detached from both attachment and aversion. Krishna replied that renunciation of devotional service is better than renunciation of action. Real renunciation is not just cessation of action, but rejection of the attachment to the results of action. Where does the attachment to the results of action come from? It comes from our own sense gratification, desire for sense gratification. Sankha and Karma Yoga are not different. So here Krishna is coming to that point. A wise man situated in yoga performs his actions without attachment. On the other hand, a fruitive worker, Karmi, is bound by the attachment of the fruits of his action. When a living entity becomes covered by avidya, ignorance, he considers himself to be the doer. When one considers himself to be the doer, again Krishna is coming back to the same point. He said, previously what did he say? Ahankara bimuratma kartaham iti mannate. When one is bewildered by his false ego, he considers himself to be the doer. Now he is saying that one who is in ignorance considers himself to the doer. Therefore, false ego is synonymous to ignorance. As long as you are affected by your false ego, you are in ignorance. Those who are fixed in the supreme attain liberation. Those who have equal vision are truly learned. Those with fixed intelligence never become perturbed by fame or infamy. They are situated in transcendence. As long as they are in their material bodies, those who tolerate the urges of desire and anger through devotional service are truly happy in this world. One whose happiness is within, who is active in his spiritual situation and rejoices within, whose aim is inward, is a true yogi. Attain the supreme Brahma Nirvana, a karma yogi knows that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities. The Supreme Lord of all planet and demigods and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities attain transcendental peace. So Krishna is giving the peace formula here. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloko maheshwaram surhidam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shantim richat. So, when we understand Krishna in that way, then will it be difficult to surrender to Krishna and act on His behalf according to His instruction and for His pleasure? No. So you see the difference between the third chapter and fifth chapter? Third chapter, is not speaking about total surrender to Krishna and complete unalloyed devotion to Krishna. But in the fifth chapter, that point has been established. Therefore, although both the chapters have been described as Karma Yoga, but the fifth chapter is describing the ultimate consideration of Karma Yoga. Should we go to the sixth chapter now? Okay. Without meditating upon the transcendental supreme personality of Godhead, just by renunciation of action, one cannot attain liberation. One who renounces desire for sense gratification is a yogi. However, one who renders devotional service to the Lord with great faith is the best among all yogis. So this is the essence of this chapter, sixth chapter. Yoga, the word yoga, what does the word yoga actually mean? To be linked to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To be connected. Yoga means plus. A plus B means A is connected to B. How is it being, how the connection is being being made? Through yoga. Through yoga. So if we want to become connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is the means? Yoga. Now generally, yoga is one aspect of the process. Now which is generally classified as Ashtanga Yoga. Generally when we speak of yoga, we speak of Ashtanga Yoga. Connection. And but then again, yoga means the real process. The entire process is known as yoga. Like Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, Kriya Yoga, Raja Yoga. There are so many yogas. But these are different processes of being connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Different, Prabhupada is giving the example of a ladder and different rungs of the ladder. There are parts of climbing onto the top. There are different parts of that process. But when you go to the top, then what happens? Then do you need those processes? No. So that topmost yoga, therefore, is known as, because what is the topmost? What will you do? Ultimately, that is the topmost. Now, take any yoga, whether it is Dhyana Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Kriya Yoga, Raja Yoga. Ultimately, when you become connected to whom? To the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then what will you do? When you become connected to Him, then what will you do? What will you do? Serve. Very good. You are a servant. So when you come across your master, what will you do? Go to sleep? You're going to serve. So when you serve, that service is the ultimate consideration. Now the most wonderful thing about the service is that it is both the means and the ends. Means and the end. Because by serving you can become His servant. And when you become His servant, then also you will serve. Right? So that is the unique aspect of devotional service. The unique aspect of devotional service is rendering unalloyed, unconditional devotional service to the Lord. Now all the other processes have been described in these six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Karma Yoga, leading to Jnana Yoga or Buddhi Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. In the sixth chapter, basically Ashtanga Yoga has been described. What is Ashtanga Yoga? To become, the process of becoming connected to the Supreme Personality of God. That is, working on your consciousness. Due to your consciousness, you have become separated. Now you focus your consciousness entirely up to Him, unto Him. By doing that, you will be able to perceive Him in the core of your hearts. So anyway, sixth chapter has described all different processes of yoga. But then what it is doing? It is pointing out that this yoga system is the best process. Tapasibhya adhiko yogi jnani bhascha matadhikah karmit bhaschapi adhiko yogi tasmat yogi bhavarjuna. Arjuna, you become a yogi. Because yoga is better than tapasya, austerity. Yoga is better than knowledge. Yoga is better than action. Therefore you become a yogi. So by doing that, what is Krishna doing? Krishna is establishing that this is the supreme process. But then what Krishna is saying, that right after that verse, yogi nam opi sarvesham madgaten antaratmanaha shraddhavan bhajate jomam same yukto tamomata. Of all the yogis who has become connected to me, attached to me through his love and devotion, and renders his service unto me as an expression of that love, he is most intimately connected to me. So what is Krishna doing here? Yoga is the best. Right? Yoga is better than this, yoga is better than that, yoga is better than everything. Therefore, yoga is the best. Right? But then Krishna is saying that a devotee is even better than a yogi. So it's saying that devotional service to Krishna is better than the best. He established the best, and then he establishes something that is even better than the best. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was 14 years old, Digvijay Pandit, Keshav Kashmiri, he defeated all the scholars all over India. And he came to Navadvip. So he was the best scholar in India. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated him. And just by defeating him, Mahaprabhu established himself as the best. So Keshav Kashmiri was the best, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was better than Keshav Kashmiri. So in this way, we can see that Krishna is doing the same similar thing in the sixth chapter. See, the verse before that is saying, tapasibhyo adhiko yogi jnani bhascha matodhikah karmit bhaschapidha adhiko yogi tasmat yogi bhavarjuna. So you become a yogi. So apparently it seems that Krishna is telling everybody that through Arjuna that you become a yogi. But the next verse, Krishna has revealed the real purpose. Krishna is revealing the real purpose. Yogi nam api sarvesham, of all the yogis, madgaten antaratmanaha, one who has been madgaten antaratman, whose heart and soul has been completely dedicated unto me. Madgatena antaratmana, shraddhavan bhajate yomam. With love and devotion, one who is rendering devotional service unto me, same yukta tamo mataha, is most intimately connected to me. That reminds me, I just heard in Bhaktivedanta Manor, a couple of years back, some big yogi was invited for Janmashtami. And don't mention the name. So he used that verse. Tapasibhyo adhiko yogi jnani bhascha matodhikah karmit bhaschapadhyek adhiko yogi tasmat yogi bhavarjuna. So he was a yogi, so he was telling everybody, become a yogi. But then, Gauri Prabhu, he very subtly and politely pointed out that, sir, you forgot the verse after that. Yoginam api sarvesham. What about that? So you become that. Now you became a yogi, now you become a devotee. Anyway, to become a devotee of the Lord is not the business of any Tom, Dick and Harry. One has to be extremely fortunate to recognize the supremacy of this path and accepting this path as his life and soul. Thank you all very much. Any question? Yes. How do?
You mentioned in your class about quoting the verse before the end of the sixth chapter, Loginama Pusham Resham. So how long does it take to come to that platform?
How long? It depends how serious you are about it. It depends how free you have become from sense gratification. That's again sincerity. But doesn't matter. You see, how long it will take is not important. That you find the path and remain on that path is what really matters. Right? It will take some time. It may take some time. But if you are on the right path and if you remain on the path, then someday you will go there. Right? So, now that you've found the path, just stay on that. And never ever deviate. Okay? Yes?
I was wondering, what's the difference between a tapasvi and a yogi? Because they seem similar.
Tapasvi, you see, yoga is, as I said, like there are various types of yogas. Tapasvi means one who is performing austerity, right? And say, for example, Hiranyakashipu. He was a tapasvi, not necessarily a yogi, right? And yogi, say, the process of Ashtanga Yoga, or Raja Yoga, or Kriya Yoga, they are different paramparas. And in that parampara, you will get the guidance, how to do that, from the teacher. Any other question? Yes, Rishi. You take the mic. A very simple answer to that question is to by calculating how much you kept for yourself and how much you have given to Krishna. Right? At the end of the year, you can consider you have earned some, how much money you earned, how much you put in the bank, and how much you gave it to Krishna. And there is a saying, Krishna doesn't see how much you have given him. Krishna sees how much you kept for yourself. At the end of the month when you get the salary. Because, you see, the end justifies the means. Whatever you have done throughout the month, from the result, what matter is what you do with the result. Ultimately, what you have done with your life will be judged by ultimately what you are doing with that. At the end of your life, who are you going to think about? That is going to be the ultimate point. Yes, Sanjeev.
In the outer world, people talk about charity, they talk about philanthropy, they talk about being a good human being, they talk about being humble, being nice to others. That's one aspect of it. We learn that our ultimate aim is to serve Krishna and to please Him and follow the Bhakti Yoga and be a good devotee. We also learn about Nishkam Karma Yoga, that in a person in a professional life like mine, I should be looking at giving up all the results of my action and devoted to Krishna and not get attached to that. So I look at these three aspects. I also look at that when a Nishkam Karma Yogi is progressing and going towards Bhakti Yoga, trying to be a devotee, that's the right thing to do. But what my problem comes is that when I see people who are practicing Nishkam Karma Yoga as if intentionally, and they're meaning it, that they are offering results of their actions to Krishna, but at the same time not being humble, or despising others, or not practicing being a good human being. How does these two come together, and for the role of advancement?
Well, first of all, we have to understand that, you know, we are in a practicing stage. We have to begin with the understanding that most of us are in a practicing stage. And maybe very few are in a perfected stage. Therefore, if we find some anomalies, if we find some discrepancies, if we find some defects, then we have to take it with the right understanding. Well, after all, he is rendering devotional service. Although he didn't become so humble and all, it's not up to me to judge. Another thing is that in spiritual life, you see, it's important to consider that a devotee doesn't really judge others. Rather, the devotee judges himself. He is not critical about others, but he is very ruthlessly critical about himself. The more he advances, the more this quality will become manifest. And as far as going to the first point, that you are doing it as a Nishkam Karma Yoga, doing it for, you know, like for Krishna's pleasure and all. Let that also not be a very rigid thing. Take it easy. Krishna consciousness is meant to be easy. Meaning that I may not be perfect right now, but I know one thing, that this process is perfect. And if I follow the process, I'll become perfect. Today I may not be perfect, but if I remain in the institution, practicing the process, someday I'll become perfect. So, you know, if I'm not perfect right now, doesn't matter. If my actions, it's not that, again, I'll make another point here, that as a householder, you do not have to become an absolute Nishkam Karma Yogi, so to say. Like not everything for Krishna. You have, as a householder, you have to maintain your household. Right? But how at the same time you become completely surrendered to Krishna? By accepting, in your consciousness, accept Him. And whatever you are receiving, you take it as His mercy. Like, it is, you know, otherwise, you see what may happen, like if it is too rigid, then it may have an adverse effect. One may become bitter. If the process is not pleasant enough, pleasing enough, easy enough, then one may become averse to it. Oh, I tried it for so long, so hard, nothing, I didn't get anything. So, it shouldn't be like that. Shushukham kartum appayam. Krishna is suggesting. Happily execute your devotional service. Like, ultimately consider, you know, what is your relationship with Krishna? You are the servant, he is the master. If the servant is sincerely trying to serve, the master will be pleased. The servant's act may not be perfect. Right? Another way to look at it, we are the children, Krishna is the father. Now, if the son makes some mistakes, does the father become upset? No, the father, you know, he tolerates. Oh, he's a child, he makes a mistake. So that's how Krishna is. He is not watching our mistakes. He is not watching our defects. He is not watching our faults. What he is watching is what we are doing for him. Just that much is enough for him. That here is a soul, he is trying to serve me, he is trying to please me. And Krishna is so happy because of that. So we have to understand that Krishna is watching us and he is happy whatever little we are doing. And wherever we are failing, we can pray to Krishna. Krishna, please forgive me. And Krishna said, don't worry, my son. Everything is alright.
You've been very merciful in trying to ignore our faults and...
It's not me, it's Krishna.
We come to you and say, oh, you've done this wrong, and just don't worry. But my worry about... it's not a difficulty, but my worry is that complacency sets in into my schedule if I don't keep reminding myself that this is what the right path is.
For that, you have to stay in the association of devotees. That's the only way. Otherwise, no matter how rigid you may be, you may become complacent. But if you are in the association of devotees, then it will be checked, it will be controlled. Hare Krishna. Okay, so now I'll stop. It's 1:30. After all, this 2.5 hour class, was it too long?
No.
No. Okay. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.